Brothers and sisters, I want to take this opportunity to express my thanks once again for the opportunity to be present and to participate in the E.Y. Mullins series on preaching. I have enjoyed myself very much. It has been a time of refreshing of my spirit, renewal of friendships. It's been a wonderful experience for me. I want to express thanks to the President, President Honeycutt, for your gracious invitation to come, to Glenn Stassen, who was a colleague and a fellow student at Union years ago, for being your emissary at points to me, to Dr. Bailey and to Dr. Cox and to all of the colleagues in ministry here, whether as students or teachers. It's been wonderful. I will take back to New York City very pleasant greetings from you, and to say that I really do like Southern Theological Seminary, Baptist Seminary, and I hope that what you do will make possible the coming revival for which we are all praying. Now I'm going to read the lesson and then invite you to participate in what I have come to call an action sermon. And because of the sensitive matters before us today, I will not risk the sense of inclusiveness in reading from the text. I will actually, though I'm reading from the Revised Standard Version, for fear that the notion that every time there is him or sons, that daughters are included, because this is a sensitive moment, I'm going to say daughters wherever I say son. I would hope that I do so in the spirit of Christ, who was more eager to include than to risk the prospect of exclusion. Romans 8, 14 through 28. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship and daughterhood. When we cry, Abba, Abba, it is the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in travail together until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait for the adoption as sons and daughters, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he or she sees? For if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. And the one who searches the hearts of men and women knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that in everything, God works for good with those who love God, who are called according to God's purpose. The word of the Lord. On television, you are likely to have heard the commercial from a certain analgesic in which the jingle goes like this: when you haven't got time for the pain. I have not checked with my lawyers to see whether it is even appropriate to name the product, but at least the spirit of the jingle comes ringing clear. When you haven't got time for the pain, take this. From the first time I heard that jingle, that commercial, which promises release from pain, I thought, there's possibly something wrong with the spirit back of this commercial. It seems to be suggesting that life is too fast and demands are too numerous for us to be held up with pain. Later for pain, get on with life as it is supposed to be lived, namely with a sense of internal tranquility and well-being, a pleasurable existence. I said to myself, is it possible that hedonism has triumphed in our time? And I knew it had. Pleasure is in. Pain is out. And the proof of it is that pain-killing medicine is a billion-dollar industry in our nation. In fact, it seems that it would probably be possible, even right here, this morning, to find in our pockets or our purses analgesics of one kind or another: aspirin, Tylenol, Valium, may even be some Darvon in here, bromides of one kind or another. I think it is clear that it's all American to get over the pain. In fact, it seemed, as I reflected on this, that I could hear pain complaining. Pain was saying, I've gotten a bad rap. Everybody is so eager to banish me as if I'm the worst thing that ever happened to humankind. Pain said, hey, I am no enemy to humankind. Basically, I'm God's gift. My purpose was to be an alarm system. Let people know when something wasn't right. To be able to protect people from the consequences of their injury by making it hurt so that they would slow down and back away from the offending element and therefore have the prospect of renewal and of recovery. Payne said that the creation understands this. The creation knows something is wrong. That's why the creation groans. Something isn't right. Something isn't going like it ought to be. And creation is waiting with the pain until the day of deliverance from decay has come. Then we can have that pleasure for which the world seems to be hankering so desperately day by day. So I decided I needed to talk about this. What I would want to do is not only talk about it, but I would like today to deal with pain. Listen, brothers and sisters, let the jingle go on when we haven't got time for the pain. But you and I, members of the body of Christ, especially those of us who are leading in apprenticeship relationships with those who are to be servants in the church, we cannot graduate from this place and be so busy preaching glad tidings that we don't have time for the pain. So let's have a little action sermon. By action sermon, I usually mean a sermon in which I am eager to provide a context of response in the very process of proclaiming. And so let me explain exactly what the action sermon is about. I'm going to ask you right now to get ready to participate in the ministry to those who have to deal with pain. And by that, I am going to ask you to sing first stanza of Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. And then I'm going to ask you while you're singing it to come to the chorus and do the chorus over and over, hugging yourself as an experience of receiving the love of God revealed in Jesus the Christ until you've got your cup full. And then hang in until your cup overflows and there is some love in the saucer. And then I'm going to ask you to make sure that those who are in and around you get some tangible expression of love, whether it is in a handshake, a hug, or a kiss, or anything within the bonds of Christian propriety. And then, and then I'm going to ask you, out of the people around you, not necessarily the one that's sitting next to you, I'm going to ask you to then just stand with that person, select a partner, because I'll have something at the end of the sermon for you and the partner to do. And while you're together, just talk about pain. Your pain, pain of the world, pain which concerns you. And I'm not going to give you but a couple of minutes each to talk about pain on any level you want to. And then I'm going to ask you to sit down. I'll say some words out of Romans chapter 8. And then after that, I'm going to ask you and your partner to share and minister to each other. And hopefully God will do something about the pain which is represented even in a community like this, such that the pain in concentric circles from here to the ends of the earth might possibly be impacted by what we do here today. So I've asked the organist to lead us in Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. Will you stand? And after we sing it through one time, then gonna have the chorus over until you can feel your cup filling up with love, and then the saucer, and then I'll give the signal for you to pass not the peace but pass the love to those in and around, and you pick somebody that the Lord gives to you who will be your pain partner for the sermon that I'm going to be preaching. All right.
Jesus loves me.
Time and fill up a little bit more.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Now, while the organist continues to play the chorus, will you share some tangible expression of God's love to those in and around you? You can move outside of the aisle, but after you get through sharing some love, select a partner and stand by that partner. Go ahead.
select a partner and stand by your partner, and for the next 3 minutes, maybe a minute and a half, talk to that partner, just wherever you can stand. You can stand in the aisle if you want to, but when you sit down, you're going to sit down with this partner, because that'll be a part of the sermon. Talk about the pain which concerns you, either in your life, in the community, or in the world. Just for a minute and a half apiece, talk about pain. Keep standing. Don't sit down yet. Keep standing.
Some of you will have had to rearrange your seats, but that's all right. I want to talk to you partners about pain, and I'm glad that you've been willing to just stop a little while. All right. I understand what you mean, brother. I understand what you mean. Yes. Pain. What is pain? Sometimes a nagging or an unpleasant feeling or sensation experienced when body tissues are damaged or when they are stressed or when there is constriction in the body which prevents the proper functioning. Nerve impulses conducted to the spinal cord and sometimes taking care of it right there, otherwise moving up into the thalamus and to that cerebrum area where more precise indications can be given. It can be either chronic pain, been hurting a long, long time, or acute pain, sharp and quick and maybe subsiding pain. It could be the result of a strange action whereby it's actually the heart that's under the stress and strain, but felt in the shoulder area, or maybe sometimes in the center of the chest, not where it is, misplaced, sometimes down the left arm to the fingertips, as a matter of fact, hurting, thinking it's one place, and it's coming from another place. One tooth, you thought it was here, but it's back there. Or actually, I've been told that those who have had amputations are able sometimes, even after the offending limb has been removed, that they can still feel the pain from the area where the limb was. Or it could be heart pain, and now I'm talking about heartache pain, where even the occasion of the offense is gone, the person who hurt you dead and gone, and you still feeling the assault in your spirit. Your pain is something. Some of it we can do something about. Some of it we can't do anything about. Sometimes it's physiological. Sometimes it's emotional. And sometimes it's spiritual. But I don't have to stand here and talk about pain. Everybody here knows what pain is. You know better than your doctor knows. He has to depend upon what you say about the pain. And I think that we are doing the right thing, don't you think so, to stop and take a little time for the pain. You don't know who's hurting. The reason you don't know who's hurting is because some folks, when they hurt, they grin and bear it. You look at them on the outside, you think they're all right, but you never know what secret pain they harbor in the deep recesses of their hearts. And so pain is around us. Some folk, you know they're hurting because it's affected their disposition. You can tell something must be wrong with that child, otherwise wouldn't be acting like that. And as I have said earlier, I gather that pain is to warn the victim of injury. Within the literature about pain, the worst thing that could happen, really, is for a person to have more pain than they can bear. Because pain can kill you, yeah? But on the opposite end, to be incapable of experiencing pain is almost to ensure an early demise, because pain is the thing that keeps us alive. When we are injured, if we didn't have the pain, we'd keep on keeping on and destroy ourselves in the process. There are those people who have that condition, and they are safeguarded as much as possible because they can bump against something and not know that the bone is broken, and therefore they lie there waiting, not knowing that they are dying without the pain itself. Well, brothers and sisters, I want to talk about pain. C.S. Lewis says it's God's megaphone, meaning that when everything else has failed to get your attention, if you start hurting bad enough, you're likely to call on it. Lord, have mercy. But I am not here today to talk about pain as if you don't know what it is. The truth is that many people have different reactions. And one of the common reactions in this hedonistic age is that some folks tend to deny their pain because it's supposed to be bad. And whether you know it or not, there are a whole lot of folk walking around, even in seminaries, who are hurting.
But obviously, if you are a full professor, you shouldn't have any pains like that. So you don't let anybody know that you're hurting.
Or if you're an incoming student, you hate to let them know how bad you are hurting in this context of inquiry about the ultimate issues of life, for fear you'll punch out early on the basis of your manifestation of pain. So you grin and bear it the best you can. But the truth is, we who are clergy and who are potential ministers in the life of the church, whether we are lay or clergy, we have to take time for the pain. Why? Because Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith,
was not too busy preaching the kingdom, but that he had time to stop and take care of the pain. He's moving along, and as they get ready to launch out on the ministry, even after he's gathered his disciples, Peter said, "Y'all, can y'all hold up a little while? My wife's mother is sick, and she got the fever, but we got to go and preach the kingdom." But Jesus said, "Wait a minute, show me where she is," and went in there and touched her. What are you saying, Jesus? We got to take time for the pain. On his way to answer a need of somebody who had a problem. But while he's walking, somebody comes up and touches his garment, and he stops and turns around and, "Somebody touch me." "Lord, you know anybody could have touched you around here." "No, this is different. I got to stop here a little while and take care of the pain." You understand what I'm talking about? Jesus would stop. They'd bring the sick. Because that's the compassion at his heart. That is the sign of the kingdom. Something's going to be done about this pain, his life seemed to be saying. And although it is not fully revealed, the first fruits of the healing must already be here now. And so Jesus took care of the pain. But that's kind of preliminary to what I wanted to get to today. In Romans chapter 8, we see that we who are anointed, and those of you who buy my book, that's about the anointing, and it's about time. The anointing of the Spirit, which rests upon each one of us. And don't you buy into this business that the anointing of the Spirit is for schismatic charismatics. No, the anointing of the Spirit is for every Christian believer that wants to bear the name of Christ. And we all are supposed to be anointed. If you are not, this is a good time. In this text, it clearly states that to become a Christian doesn't mean that you're not going to have any more pain. I don't know who told you that you turn your life. I know we used to sing, "Turn it over to Jesus. Turn it over to Jesus. Turn it over to Jesus and everything is going to be all right." But that doesn't mean that you are not going to have any more suffering. No, the text says we are heirs and joint heirs. And I was quick to include women and men today. Because whether you are a man or a woman, we all going to hurt. But the thing that keeps us moving is that provisions have been made in the gospel to take a little time for the pain. The Holy Spirit may be doing a whole lot of things in the world, and we could develop our pneumatology right on the spot and go a long time. But this morning, all I want to talk about is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in taking a little time for the pain. Therefore, I get excited prematurely when I begin to think about how we are told we have to suffer. And some of you are suffering. And I'm glad I could come by to help take care of the opportunity of ministering to pain together. That is part of it. Nobody promised you if you go to seminary, if you accept the call to ministry, if you give up your job, if you come to where Christians are, you're not going to suffer anymore. I don't know who led you astray. Right here in this community, there is pain. But it's not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed. If we can hang in here, if we can hold on, if we can keep on keeping on. And then, since this is an action sermon, you all read it over. You know the text better. And then you can make it like Paul actually said it, rather than the way I distorted it in the light of a Christian impulse, I think. But anyway, the text says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought." When you're hurting bad, been hurting long, prayed before, nothing happened, We don't know sometimes. What else can I say? What prayer can I pray? You don't know. But thank God in our lives. The Holy Spirit has been put there every now and then to say, come aside over here. We've got to take care of the pain. And I like the way they said it, that the Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words and searches our heart and knows where the pain is and gives us deliverance. And so I'm not going to talk much longer now. I'm ready to bring it back to you because I see my light going. And let me say something about this. Let me say, everybody right now, get your pain. If the love of God is here. Brothers and sisters have just recently been filled with love until their cup overflowed. So you don't have to be scared. Get in touch with the pain that you would wish to expose to the Spirit's ministry right now. Whatever it is, your pain, your family pain, your physical, emotional, spiritual pain, pain for the world, pain for the church, pain for the, whatever pain you would wish the Spirit to minister to, get that together. And first of all, let's let the Spirit minister to us. But first of all, when you've had pain and it's been bad and nothing has relieved it and the Spirit pulls you aside, I want you to know something. Sometimes you don't have to have the right words. Sighs will do. So let everybody sigh. Thank God. You've been holding that a long time. Do you know how to groan? Oh. Every Christian needs to know how to groan. You also need to move. I like to tell how one time I got so low and I hardly knew what to say. And I got down beside my bed and I said, Lord, I said, if you will help me, help me. I didn't know what to do, so I just shut up and I started doing like this beside my bed. And when I got through doing that, I felt better. I said, I feel better. Maybe I can pray. But the word came back. You don't have to pray now. You've already prayed. Heaven is equipped to receive choreographed prayer. Just. Well. So come on, let's move. Wherever you're hurting this morning, wherever, let your body say it. Now then, the time is pretty much up, but let's do this before we close. You got a partner there. Partner, what I'm going to ask you to do is let your partner tell you which pain this day you want to present to the ministry of the Spirit. And then when you exchange that, I'm going to ask each one of you to first of all minister to one another simply, no long drawn out prayer. Just put your hand on your partner and say, Lord, my partner says this is a pain that cries out for the ministry of the Spirit this day. Don't come with a long prayer. Holy Spirit, will you minister to my partner at the place of pain? And then you put your hands down and let your partner put your hands on your shoulder and say, Holy Spirit, will you minister to my partner at his or her place of pain? And leave it in the hands of the Spirit to transform this community into a healing community that will impact the wider community, yea, even the church and the world. So will you stand up right where you are now? And before we pray, because I'm not sure everybody is used to praying for somebody, let's open ourselves to the presence of God and then minister in exchange. Will you join me? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Break me.
Break me.
Melt me.
Melt me.
Mold me.
Mold me.
Lord, then fill me. I got a ministry to do.
Fill me.
Now, will you exchange a prayer request with your partner? Just exchange, and then I'll give you the signal to pray. Just tell your partner what pain you wish the Spirit to touch. And let your partner tell you what his or her pain is. And when you have exchanged, will you begin to pray for one another? Touch your partner, just touch your partner and tell the Spirit to minister to the hurt, to the pain. Oh Lord, look upon these your people. Touch the pain in their lives and bring deliverance and wholeness and peace and joy and hope. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh God, we thank you for these partners who are praying now. And we thank you for your word that you would not leave us comfortless, but that the Spirit would come and meet our needs. Look upon this great institution, its faculty, its board of directors, its student body, its administrative staff, the support staff, the community. Lord, look upon your church, the Christian church, and look upon all branches of that church and upon people who seek to find you even in paths which are not yet illuminated by the light of Christ. Look upon the pain in the world, even this creation with its groans. Let your will be fulfilled in sustaining us in the struggle until the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God, until the revelation of that great newness which you have promised. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the promise. Thank you for the promise that John gave. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling of God is with the brothers and sisters of the faith. God will dwell with them and they will be God's people, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Help us to hold on with confidence that nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from your love, and everything is going to be all right. Amen.
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 Thank God.
Amen.
You feel better?
Yeah.
You feel all right?
Yeah.
Well, give God the glory.
Yeah.